I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptations come my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pax, for opening us up with that beautiful song, a reminder that we come, all of us, in some need this morning. Need for God, need for one another, need for creation to be fully human and to be fully who we are. So we give thanks for that invitation and a welcome to each of you to worship. My name is Pastor Katie. And I'm the pastor here at Tabernacle United Church, and I'm glad to welcome each of you to this time of worship. I've been away the past month, so I'm glad to be back, and I do feel refreshed after having some time away to renew and take care of myself and our family. So thank you all for your support and also for leading and for all the good work that you've been doing over the past month. I'm very grateful for this community this morning. So, and I'm glad to be back. I want to welcome especially those of you who might be visiting this morning. If you are new, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to introduce yourself through the chat feature, we'd love to hear your name and that you're with us. You can also fill out a visitor card. We'll put that visitor card link in the chat, and you can click on that and let us know a little bit more about yourself, and we'd love to connect further. So welcome to all of us. I wanted to share also just a couple announcements for us for today and also for this week. We are continuing today after worship in our abolition curriculum. It's called Defund the Police, an abolition curriculum from the Mennonite Church, put out by the Mennonite Church. And we are continuing now today at 11:45 with our fifth session in this series. And so we look forward to continuing that. You are welcome to join us, even if you have not been here before or not come before. We would love for you to join us today. That will be at 11:45, and we'll be meeting on this same meeting space in the main meeting room. So you can leave after the service and come back and join, or you can stay for that time. We also have this week, we'll continue our prayer gatherings on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 in the morning. Anyone is welcome to join on Zoom for prayer at 8:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We also have our Bible study is starting up again this month. So this week on Wednesday at 5:30, we'll meet for Bible study. And again, you are welcome to join, even if you haven't before. It's a great time to connect and to get a little bit deeper into the scriptures. So that is on Wednesday at 5:30. Also, just a reminder that today is Communion Sunday. We are celebrating communion. And so if you would like to participate, you can bring any elements that are available to you at your home. It can be water or juice or something to drink, and then something to eat, bread or crackers or anything that is easy for you to get. And you could set aside those elements for communion. And we'd love for you to participate in the Lord's Supper today. So those are the announcements. We're going to now continue in our worship as we call ourselves to worship. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Susan Wargo. My pronouns are she and her.
Good morning. My name is Nicole. My pronouns are she and her.
Please join us now in the call to worship. Come, all you who are hungry.
Come, all you who cannot name your hunger.
This is the holy place where false hungers can be put aside, where false food can be ignored.
This is the place where real hunger is satisfied.
This is the place where God feeds us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning in our opening songs, we'll start with I Will Wade, which is a song I wrote coming out of our Going Deeper season theme a couple years ago. So I invite you to go a little deeper this morning and maybe take this time to sing or to meditate on the natural imagery in both of these first songs. Let's sing together. Jesus said, go out into the water just a little further from the shore. Jesus said, go deeper in the water and you'll find what you're looking for. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade. Lord, I will wade. Jesus said, surrender all your fear, you don't need it anymore. Jesus said, my friends, give up your fear, leave your boat here on the shore. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. Lord, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. Lord, I will wait. Amen. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You moved on the waters, you called to the deep. Then you coaxed up the mountains from the valleys of sleep. And over the eons, you called to each thing. Awake from your slumbers and rise on your wings. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you goaded your people with the law and the land. When they were confounded with idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. Amen.
Let us pray. God, we are hungry. We are angry because everywhere we see heaps of stuff that look like food, heaps of stuff that we consume knowing that it is empty, if not poisonous. We walk through our days, heads buzzing. And are we truly hungry? Are we greedy? Or is there a genuine hunger that the world cannot fill? And now, please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we know that you fed your people in the desert. You sent manna down from the skies when they were lost and starving. We remember that your people did not always recognize your manna as food, that they had to be taught to accept it. We confess that we do not always see what you offer. Help us think beyond our narrow desires, our careless definitions of sustenance. Help us sing, bread of heaven. Feed us till we want no more. Help us eat that bread with true and honest gratitude. Help us eat with joy. And now hear these words of assurance. The God who sends us bread will not forget our hunger, even when we fail to appreciate those gifts. God will feed us with bread, not stones. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Of ages, let me hide myself in thee, Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream. Let's sing it again. Jesus, rock of ages, let me hide myself in thee, Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream. Your love comes pouring in my life, it fills my heart till it flows. You revive my dying spirit till it blossoms and it grows. Jesus, rock of ages, let me hide myself in living water, let me drink from your flowing stream.
Amen. And now let us take a moment to share the peace of Christ with one another. And share that love. So let us take a moment now, and you can unmute and go to gallery view, and may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with
you. With you.
Hello, Richard Eloise.
And also with
Welcome
you.
Welcome back, Katie.
Hello, New Hampshire.
Welcome back, Katie.
Peace of Christ to everyone.
Peace be with you, Ron.
Peace be with you.
Peace, Lynn and Lynn. Peace, Geneva.
Mary Ellen. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Peter. Good to see you.
Peace. Elliot. Hello, Elliot. Hello, Elliot.
Peace to you all.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
Peace to you. Welcome back, PAX. Welcome back, PAX.
This is a couple of new faces.
Yeah.
The mug.
Great. I'm looking at all the new faces.
Jean and Amy. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Auntie Laura.
Hello, Marnie.
Dick and Eloise.
Hello.
Hi, peace. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi, Lee. Hi, Jenny.
And Peter Dan, nice to be with you.
Susan T, good to see you.
Hi, Ellen.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Sana, Lee. Great to see you, Sana.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Susan.
Good to see you.
Arda, good to see your picture.
Hi.
Hi, Vic and Charlene. Hi.
Peace.
Peace, Sarah Hosen. Good to, glad you're here.
Peace to you, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
And peace, Ken. Sarah. Peace, Ken. Peace.
Oh, look at Dick and Eloise up there on that lake. I can see out your windows.
Peter, you're on this side of the pond, yes?
Yes.
This is...
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 48 to 51. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that whoever eats from it will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer for the children's time. And if you'd like to be part of that smaller group of folks who are meeting in the spotlight room, feel free to go down to your reactions button at the bottom of your Zoom menu on the right-hand side and click raise hand. Let's sing to invite those folks forward. Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, Tab friends. My name is Nicole, I use she, her pronouns. This is Elliot, who uses he, him pronouns. We're glad to be with you this morning. We zoom in from Maine. We're happy to be here. And Elliot wanted to share something with all of you today.
Can you share yours? Mm-hmm. So we have been making these bracelets. I don't know if you noticed, but my mom has been doing that.
Sometimes while I'm listening to music and sermons, I'm making rubber band bracelets. And why did you want to talk about these bracelets?
Because we make them, and they're special because it shows that we're all linked together, and we all link together to make God's body.
So we are wondering if you might put in the chat anything that you do with your hands. Arts or crafts or other things that you do with your hands that maybe if you thought about it in a certain way, it could symbolize the way that we link together. So go ahead and put those in the chat. And Elliot and I created a couple little videos in case you want to make rubber band bracelets. But keep throwing those things in the chat. We'll do something with them in a minute.
Hi, I'm Elliot, and I'm going to show you how to start a bracelet. How you start is, do you see I take this gold ring? It doesn't have to be gold. It can be any color. Show them the colors. So, do you see how it's straight? You twist it and put it on. Then you put another one over it and latch over by pulling the bottom one over the top one. And then you do not X again. You put another one on without Xing it and put it on and pull over. If you would like to do a double, you can watch the next video.
So Elliot said I was gonna show you how to start a double one, which ends up coming out looking like that, as compared to a single one that ends up coming looking like that. So the double ones, you have three loops going at once. My bottom one is twisted, and then I bring it over like this, and then I put another one on, and then I do the same thing of bringing over and looping these rubber bands together. And Elliot is gonna show you what it looks like after you do this a whole bunch of times.
So this is a double in the middle. A plain one would be a lot thinner. These doubles can all be in all different colors, and singles can be in different colors too. Here's me lashing a single together. Oop, sorry about that. I'll just get this. And then I pull both ends up to the top, lift it up, and hook it. Together. So that's how you hook them. Bye. So this is a-
Okay, so if any of you want to send us YouTube style videos on how to do your crafts and arts, we'd be happy to receive them. Did you want to say something else before we do a blessing?
So that first video, I forgot to say that that you don't X it twice. You just X the bottom one. You don't do the next one, just the bottom one.
We want to make sure you can do this yourself. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to read a couple things that people put in the chat, and then Elliot's going to offer a blessing, because we want each of your things that you do with your hands that maybe reminds us that we're all connected to get a blessing today. Okay, so those are the words you're going to say. Okay. I knit. I grow lettuce. I paint and experience the mystery and wondrous colors of God.
God, we ask for your blessing.
I cook. Gardening. I'm embroidering right now as I listen.
God, we ask for your blessing.
Growing flowers. Writing poetry. Making films.
We have a vegetable garden and have been sharing our bounty with neighbors and friends for salsa, pasta sauce, and more.
God, we ask for your blessing.
I like to bake bread. Tonio plays with Legos, and plus, I cook.
Good, God, we ask for your blessing.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Elliot and Nicole, for leading us and giving us that tutorial. It was so wonderful to see your hands at work and hear from everyone too about what they do. Thank you. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm actually gonna start from verse 1 just to give us a little bit of context for the story. So I'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 8. So let us hear what the Spirit is saying through this text and through this story this morning. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touching him and saying, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Spirit of God, we thank you for the ways that you move and teach us and give us life, sometimes in ways that surprise us. And we thank you, God, for showing up in mysterious ways. God, we ask that you would fill our hearts with knowledge of your love this morning and through this sermon. I ask, God, that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Parker Palmer is a writer, a spiritual leader and teacher from the Quaker tradition. Perhaps some of you have heard of him or read some of his works. I've benefited from his writings throughout the year. I first read a book of his called Let Your Life Speak when I was in college, and I had sort of forgotten about that book for a while. And just a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, I listened to an interview with Parker Palmer, and I remembered a chapter from that book that was particularly impactful, and was just remembering that again. And it was the chapter in his book where he explores his experience with depression. It was an experience that he could only write about 10 to 15 years after he had gone through that time. Parker talks about how he went through two bouts of depression when he was in his 40s. It was about a year apart, but each bout lasted for over a year at a time. He described the stretches of time, the days where he would, on a daily basis, think about and imagine ending his life. He talked about the utter numbness of that experience, of not being able to feel or rely on faculties that he had previously been able to rely on, such as his intellectual faculties that formed the basis of so much of his work. He couldn't rely on those, on the intellect anymore. His feeling faculties, the ability to feel positive things or negative things, was also gone. His willpower, he talks about not having any more that get up and go kind of willpower that he used to rely on to get through difficult times. And even spiritually, for someone who was a revered spiritual leader, teacher, even the thought of God was meaningless and empty to him during that time, which was pretty devastating. I thought about Parker's sharing of his experience with depression as I read this small story in 1 Kings this morning about Elijah. Elijah, as you may know, is a revered prophet in and a revered prophet and spiritual leader, particularly in Judaism, but also within Christianity and even in Islam. Elijah is recognized as a prophet. And where we enter the story today in 1 Kings, one would think that Elijah would be beaming with prophetic pride. He has just come out of battle and had a great victory over the prophets of Baal and Asherah. One would think that after such an experience, his ego and self-regard would be just on the top, just, you know, so proud. And this wild prophet would be resting on his laurels. One would think that. But instead, we get this story of a frightened prophet who has sunk so far down into a kind of mental internalized hell that he can't even imagine getting back up, and he wants to end his own life. He even prays to God that his life would end. So he lays down under a broom tree and goes to sleep. And an angel comes to him, and there are on some hot coals is a loaf of bread and a jug of water. And the angel says to him, "Eat." And so he eats and drinks, and then he goes back to sleep. Then the angel comes a second time and touches him again and says, "Eat and drink. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." And so he eats and drinks a second time. And it is only after that that he has the strength to keep going, to get up and take the next step on his journey. You know, we wouldn't ever hear the phrase mental health crisis in scripture. We don't hear language like depression or anxiety disorder. We don't hear words like PTSD or bipolar disorder. And we can't expect that these ancient writers would use the language that we use. Our language is different, but that doesn't mean that these ancients, these our ancient ancestors in the faith, didn't experience these things and didn't suffer in these particular kinds of ways. One of the things we know about depression and any mental health struggle, really, is that silence and shame and isolation can be devastating. Care within a community, of course, is always important. We need that. But it is especially important in these cases. Notice that in this story, Elijah is at such a low place that he can do nothing but sleep. The fact that he remains under the solitary broom tree reinforces the isolation that he's experiencing. Even something as basic as eating and drinking is a chore, is difficult. And so he actually needs another person, an angel, a messenger of God, to help him with that labor of eating and drinking. And what saves him is that he is visited by someone, by this angel. And that angel doesn't just come once, but comes twice, and perhaps more often, but in the story, it's this rhythm is signaling to us that it is an ongoing effort. Reminds us also that depression, for example, is not something that can just be zapped away with a quick fix, but that it takes time and it takes the presence of another who simply showed up and gave Elijah caring touch and nourishment, just enough strength to connect with the world. The angel also, interestingly enough, doesn't say very much. She just shows up, makes food, and for several days makes Elijah eat something. There's no God talk. There's no motivational speech. There's no spiritual platitudes. There's just eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. Parker Palmer also speaks about the life-saving aspects of community in getting him through depression. Although there was plenty, he says, that was also not helpful. Parker said that sometimes people would come to him from the religious community that he was a part of, and they would say things that would make it worse. And we probably have some ideas of that and what that could be like. But for example, he said some people would come and say, "Well, gosh, Parker, why are you sitting here so depressed? The sun is shining outside. The flowers are blooming. Just, you know, can you get out and take a walk?" And of course, intellectually, Parker says, you know that the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming, but your body, your physical ability to sense those things is dead. And so you end up feeling worse because you can't experience that. You can't feel that. He also gave an example of people would come to him with supposedly good advice and say things like, "Well, why are you so depressed? You're such a good person. You're a great spiritual leader. You know, you're close to God. Why are you so depressed?" And perhaps we think the same of Elijah. How could you be so depressed, Elijah? You're a prophet of God. And as Parker says, this also makes you feel worse because people have settled with your public image. People have settled for that. And it makes you feel like you're a fraud, like you're not really human, or that's, leaders or spiritual leaders or whatever kind of leaders have to be somehow ultra superhuman. But what really did help Parker during the most difficult periods of his depression was another kind of experience in community. And he spoke of a Quaker elder who, with his permission, would come to his home in the afternoons around 4 o'clock on a regular basis. And in Parker's words, he would sit down, take off my shoes and socks, and massage my feet. He hardly ever said anything, From time to time, he might say a brief word like, "I can feel your struggle today." But not much more than that. And somehow, Parker says, he managed to find the one place in my body, the soles in my feet, where I could experience some connection with the human race. Parker said that the experience of the Quaker elder years later became a kind of metaphor for him for what community, maybe in particular Christian community, can look like. A community that is neither invasive of the mystery of what's going on for someone and therefore tries to rush in and fix it, nor is the community evasive of the suffering. In other words, is freaked out by what's happening or just, you know, runs away, but rather a community willing to hold people in a sacred space of relationship where somehow the person who is on the dark side of the moon is somehow able to come around to the other side, just get a little confidence perhaps to come around to the other side. I think often in the church, there is a kind of pressure for us, all of us, to have the right words or to have the right language, the right thing to say when someone is suffering. And words are important, don't get me wrong. Words can harm, words can heal. We know this, but for Elijah, for Parker, notice that the way in which the word of the Lord comes to them in their time under the broom tree, in their time in the valley of the shadow of death, the word of the Lord comes to them not primarily through words. The word of the Lord is not always auditory. If even primarily, it's not necessarily written somewhere on a page. In fact, what Christians believe is something a bit scandalous, and that is that the word of the Lord is made flesh. The word of the Lord is made flesh and dwells among us. Yes, we're talking about Jesus. That is a reference to Jesus. Jesus is the incarnate word of God. However, and that is not all that that means. The implications of that are that we now are the body of Christ who are also become the word of the Lord in flesh to one another. And that also is a celebration of the material, the presence of one another, the food, nourishment, the things that we need for life. God cares about that. God cares about us being physically present with one another. And so, yes, Jesus is the word made flesh, but we are to be the body of Christ. We now are tasked with showing up for each other with bread and water, with hearts open to hold the suffering of one another without rushing in with quick fixes and without running away from the pain. The most significant gift that Elijah received and that Parker Palmer received in his depression, indeed the gifts that actually saved them, were the gifts not of words so much as the gifts of presence, of caring touch, and of food. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Now, let me say just a couple things in closing here. First, I want you to know this morning that if you are suffering from depression or anxiety or any mental health challenge, you are not alone. You are not alone. If you have been or are under the solitary broom tree right now, you are not alone. And even your ancestors in the faith have been there and been in that place. And let me also say to you, in case you've had these thoughts, that your suffering in this way does not mean that you have failed in some way, spiritually, morally. It means you're human. It means you're human, and every human has a need to care for and be cared for. The spiritual life is not as perhaps sometimes we imagine it. The spiritual life is not like hiking up a steady mountain where you just get higher and higher until you reach the pinnacle, ecstasy with God. That's not the spiritual life. The spiritual life is full of valleys, deserts, storms. And sometimes when you enter the valley of the shadow of death, you are there for whatever reason, much longer than you wish you were. And sometimes you can't figure out how to get out of that valley. But that valley is also not the only terrain that you will walk upon. That much we are promised, that we will not remain there always. And if you're in this valley today, you are not alone. And you are no less worthy of love and care for being in that valley. Let us also remember as the church that our primary vocation that we all share in is a refusal to exit the valley when someone else is in it. Not exiting the valley is sometimes the most difficult and most courageous thing we can do as a community. And it is challenging to do this. It is challenging to be community in a culture that lives at breakneck speed, where we don't value healing that takes time, where we don't value presence that is time consuming. You know, that's a negative word. Time consuming. We have a lot of work to do. I actually think that Tabernacle, one of its gifts, one of the gifts of this community is in our ability to be present to one another. I have seen you do that. I have seen us come and be in those spaces and with one another. However, we are also a part of this culture. And I think one of the biggest threats in our culture today is speed. We it seems that everywhere we turn, we just even the language we use when we talk about coming back in person, you know, we hear people say, let's hit the ground running. It's kind of like we got to get back up to speed. I mean, that's another way that we talk, that speed is something that's valued over everything. And it's so much so that we run over each other. We have a really hard time slowing down. And that is something that I think we have to reckon with, all of us, that we are up against that kind of force in our culture. And it is a spiritual gift of this community. And I think I want to name it for that reason that we also, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard gift to continue to nurture in this culture. And so I want to say to us this morning, don't underestimate the power of showing up for each other. Don't underestimate the power of sharing food, of gardening, of knitting, of baking bread, of sharing these gifts. Don't underestimate the power of that, the power of caring touch, the power of wasting time with one another, the power of slowing down, refusing to go at breakneck speed, because in so doing, the word of the Lord is made flesh, is made manifest. In the name of Jesus, who became incarnate for us, for the sake of the life of the world. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. What a time to be alive. Great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
We enter now into our time of giving. We are a faith community. We are God's people here on earth today. Part of our mission is to care for others, to support others in need, so that we can stay in the valley with those in need. Please give as you are able so that we might continue this work. To give electronically, text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. Please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online, pledge, open plate, or other. Please give as you are able.
Our Savior has come to prepare us a place. We have another world in view. Come to prepare us a place. We have another world in view. We have another world in view. In view. We have another world in view. We have another world in view. In view. We have another world in view. The hungry shall eat at the table with God. We have another world in view. The hungry shall eat at the table with God. We have another world in view. We have another world in view. In view. We have another world in view. We have another world in view. In view. We have another world in view. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. We have another world in view. The first first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We have another world in view. Hallelujah. We have another world in view, in view. We have another world in view. We have another world in view, in view. We have another world in view. Justice will roll and the people will shout. We have another world in view. Justice will roll and the people will shout. Hallelujah, we have another world in view. We have another world in view, in view. We have another world in view. We have another world in view, in view. We have another world in view. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Loving God, these are our gifts for you. Please fill us with your wisdom and love as we do your work here in this place and in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now we'd like to move into the time in our service where we pray together, where we lift up our joys and concerns and any testimonies we have before God and before the community. Let us share what our struggles are, what concerns we are holding for others and for the world, and let's share what's on our hearts and lift those up to God. And if you can't share or don't feel like you have words to do that, that is okay. Just allow yourself to be in the silent space where God's breath and desires can breathe through you, even if you don't have words. And so we will take a moment now to share our prayers. You can do that through the chat feature if you'd like. Just write what is on your hearts. And Elliot and Nicole will be reading those out loud for us this morning. So let us pray together.
From Todd, Deb Ahrens asked for prayers for her cousin, Sunny Joy Kingler Cox, who is on a ventilator at a hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, fighting for her life due to a sepsis infection.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Sana, we are holding you as you're working to get some text in there. From Lucinda, I'm praying that Katie's words guide us at the community meal. May we be about presence and being the word of God with our bodies.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Barb, for my 96-year-old mom who broke her clavicle and has moved in with my sister in Glenside. for my sister as she becomes our mother's round-the-clock caretaker until she is recovered and couldn't go home to Roxborough.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Geneva, for all those in transition to new jobs, new homes, new health.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sana. Oh, I'm going to hurt this name. I apologize. Maldonado Perez, called the Holy Spirit, Holy Subversive One. And I believe my family and I just experienced an instance of this subversive power in our own journey to create community and to undercut the ways that capitalism and individualism break down communities, particularly Black and Brown communities. We have been searching for a home in the Twin Cities for the last few months, and twice we have been outbid by people who could afford to make a cash offer. We had resigned ourselves to renting a house that was too small by far and not in a neighborhood close to our friends or our son's school. Then 2 weeks ago, we saw a house that we fell in love with less than 5 minutes from our chosen family and a short drive from our son's school.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
From Fletcher, from Gwyneth. Prayer of healing for Carson, baby cousin of one of my school children hospitalized with COVID. Aunt asks for prayers.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Sana, back to the story we were tracking. We offered as much as we could afford and included a letter explicitly naming that we sought to build community for our brown son in a neighborhood that was actively working to build justice. We heard on Monday, August 26, that our offer was accepted above others that were for more money and with more immediate cash, and that it was because of our letter. This particular seller happened to be compelled by the vision of justice, family, and community we described enough to pass on the opportunity to make more money from the sale of their home. In such a challenging and competitive market, this feels like a miracle, one I believe the Holy Spirit made possible.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
From Julie, prayers for my friend Nani in St. Paul, who is at the beginning of a very long and difficult course of treatment for breast cancer.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Donald, prayers for our son, John, who moved to Michigan and is having a difficult time there.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Ron, prayers for myself and Carolyn as we adjust our lifestyle to the return of GERD in my health after an absence of 19 years.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all who have shared their prayers in this way and lift up these concerns together. We also lift up all the prayers that are on our hearts that we did not communicate in words. I'm seeing just one more prayer here from Susan Teagan. I'll go ahead and read that. Prayers of gratitude for the blessing of this community, including new faces. Yes, amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let us take all of these prayers that we've shared, and let's sing together the song of prayer.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit. Lord,
And now I invite us to come to the Lord's table, the table of grace, the table of God's love, the table of welcome for all of us. I want to remind us that there are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast. And no matter who you are, your state of mind, your health, you are welcome at the table of God. The risen Christ is the host and bids us come and celebrate the feast and to know the power of resurrection. As we sing our invitational song, I invite you to just gather your elements if you haven't already and find your place at the table. So let us do that now as we gather and sing.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table, it's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table, it's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace.
If you would join now, you can lay your hands over the elements and let's pray the prayer of blessing together here. We thank you, loving Creator, for by your word and spirit, you made the heavens and the earth and filled them with life and declared everything good. It is through your goodness that we have this bread and juice to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. In the sharing of this bread, may we know the power of your companionship, of your gentle presence, and of your healing touch, so that we might take the next step. We thank you, God, for Elijah and for other ancestors in the faith. We thank you for the angel who ministered to Elijah, reminding us that we at times are Elijah, calling out in need of help. And at times we are the angel called to be there for others when they need help. We celebrate the witness of those who come before us, who give us courage to take and eat, lest the journey be too difficult for us. Amen. Jesus gave nourishment to his disciples before a difficult journey, and on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks for it and broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you. This is my flesh that I give for the life of the world. Take and eat and remember me." In the same way, he took the cup and blessing it, giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the cup of mercy, the cup of the new covenant. Drink this and remember me." So let us now take the body of Christ that is broken for us and let us eat together the bread of life given for you. And let us now take the cup and drink together. This is the cup of mercy, the cup of forgiveness poured out for you.
Santo, santo, santo. Mi corazón. corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor, santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor.
Let us pray. O Christ, we thank you for this feast of life, fed by your love, your body, and strengthened by your life. We humbly accept your call to go into this world to live with hope and to share your joy. You commission us to feed as we have been fed, forgive as we have been forgiven, and love as we have been loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you join me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us with whatever words or language that feel most comfortable to you? And if you don't know it by heart or would like to follow along, there is a version here in front of you. Let's pray together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, may the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the great companion, bless you and keep you. May her face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May they look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. And may the love of God surround you and the knowledge of that love be held within you this week as you go out into the world. Amen.